We turn to the portion of scripture we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, and we shall read again in chapter 50 at verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50 at verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Amen. We read in our text of a word in season. Such a word may indeed be heard in the house of God as a congregation is gathered for public worship and as God's word is preached. Often, much of what is said in a sermon appears to fall to the ground. But as we learn in Isaiah, God's word never returns unto him void. It always fulfills his purpose, and especially his purpose in the salvation of his people. The word is the great means which God has appointed for the gathering of his church in this world. And the Lord's people, when they have been called by grace, they need to be strengthened, encouraged, comforted. And the word of the Lord is used to that end. God, through the ministry of the word, bringing blessing to his people. And if we get a word in season, then we are truly blessed. We know it is the Lord. It is the voice of the Good Shepherd. He's speaking to us directly, personally. What a blessing when we get a word in season. We wish to consider what Isaiah tells us here concerning this word in season, to understand it and who it comes from and what the Lord is doing in the experience of his people when they have this word in season. Firstly then, as God helps us, what a word in season is. And it may be an expression that has come into our own language and way of speaking. A word in season. And it means a word that is appropriate. It comes at an appropriate time, a fit time. Now, the words of men may be words in season. We always hope that they are. Someone perhaps who is in difficulty, someone who is sorrowing, we would draw alongside them, we would seek to speak appropriately to them, we want to be a help, we want to encourage, we want to point them in the right direction, we make the effort. But often, the words we utter may be misplaced. Not the right words at all, despite our best endeavor. And so often the reason is this. We do not really know the heart. It's difficult enough to know our own heart. As Jeremiah tells us, It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But to know another's heart. And if the word is to be in season, well, it must meet the need of the heart, the deepest need of that individual. Sometimes the words we utter are not even true. And not the whole truth. So a word in season is something above and beyond what comes from the lips of mere men. By all means, do your best to help another, one who is weary, one who is struggling, one who is in any difficulty at all. Speak to them as you are able. Pray to the Lord that He would give you the words that they need to hear for their help. But a true word in season, it has to come from God above, from the Lord Himself. It may come through His servants, through His people, but it comes indeed from the Lord. God's word is inspired. God's word is infallible. It's everlasting truth. There's never anything amiss in the word of God. Do you search the scriptures? Do you read your Bible? Do you read it through? Book after book, Old Testament and New Testament. Have you ever found anything amiss? Well, certainly there are things that are hard to understand. Things that may be beyond our understanding while we're in this world. We pray for light. We pray that the Spirit would instruct us in the things which we read. But we have this confidence, do we not? That when we go to the Bible, we're going to the living Word of the living God. We're going to that which is true and that which is trustworthy. And we're going to that which addresses the needs of our soul. There's no other book that will do that. There are the spiritual writings of good and godly men, but they help us in as much as they help us to understand the scriptures. But always led back there. Read your Bible. Read it continually, prayerfully. Do not read it simply as a matter of a duty that needs to be performed. But read it as the word of the Most High, which is addressed to you. Read it with a sense of wonder that there should be such a book in this world, whereby God our Maker speaks to us His creatures, and speaks to us in terms of revealing His goodness. And where do we see that? Well, we see it everywhere, but we see it supremely in the account we have of the gift of a Redeemer. None other than God's own dear Son. And He delivered Him up for us all. And Christ went to Calvary and died in the sinner's place. And there you behold the goodness of God to men. What a word that is, the word of the truth of the gospel. Christ died for the guilty, to bring them to God, to bring them to heaven. The Word of God has something for every season. We might think of spiritual seasons, and the believer has these in his or her experience. We begin, do we not, in winter spiritually. Winter is the time of the year when death seems to reign in the natural world. It's very little that's growing or showing signs of life. When you think of our soul, when you think of how we came into this world, when you think of the lifelessness that we had spiritually, far from God, no desire for God, and little interest at all in the things of the gospel. Well, that has one explanation, and it's there in the scripture. By one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. Adam sinned, and we all sinned in him. We fell with him, and death came as a result of man's sin, man's fall. Spiritual death, the death of the soul, means that there's nothing of the life of God within us. And that explains why, in our natural state, there's so little desire. There's no real desire for the Lord. We're like our first parents. We're hiding from the Lord. We're looking for some refuge where we imagine that the Lord will not be able to behold us, know us. It's utter folly. But that's how we are. We're trying to escape from God, and we do not want to face up to our accountability to God. We love the pleasures of sin, the things of this world, and we shut out the thought of eternity. The winter of the soul, man dead in trespasses and sins. But then there is a springtime for the soul. And this is from the Lord, and this is by his grace. Here is one of his people, and that person's gone on for many years without the life of God, perhaps not even found in the house of God, not reading the Bible, not praying. But that person was one of the Lord's, set apart by God in eternity, in the purpose of redemption, given to Christ the Redeemer. Christ came and died for that individual. The individual knew nothing of it, of course, and knew nothing of it in the first period of his or her life. But an awakening came. The Spirit of the Lord came. And there was the impression made by the Word of God. Perhaps a Bible was picked up and opened at random even. And something leapt from the page. A word spoke. It was a word in season to that one who was far from the Lord. Something was awakened within. It was the Lord's doing. And there was the awareness of sin, guilt before God, and the need to repent and to come to Jesus Christ. The beginning of life. And We look back. If we are the Lord's, and perhaps we can remember that time. And it's precious to be able to look back and to see what the Lord did when we were so helpless in our sin and our unbelief. And then the summer for the soul. And that's a time of growth. And perhaps rapid growth. And we're bidden in the word of God to grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, how shall we grow? The soul must be nourished. Where is the nourishment? It's here in the word of God. By no means does the believer flourish as he might wish to flourish, or so it appears to him. He often cannot see much evidence of growth. Growth is gradual, normally. Spiritual growth, sure spiritual growth, is of a gradual kind. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You learn the truth, and you obey the truth. And the Lord reveals more truth, and you obey the truth. And especially, two great things that we learn ourselves. What we really are, what we really like. And the Lord, who He is, and what He has done for sinners such as we are. Or to be flourishing in the courts of God's house. To be like the cedar and the palm tree. And growing up. And putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And leaving sin behind. And the word in season comes. From the scriptures, to help us at every stage in the Christian life, that we might indeed grow and be fruitful. And then you come to the autumn season. That's the harvest time. What happens at the harvest? Well, the crop is gathered in. The fruit is there, it's ripened, it must now be gathered. And how does the Lord gather His people? Well, they come to the end of the time appointed for them in this world. And grace has done its work. And the Lord will take them home. And that might be suddenly, it might be perhaps after years of increasing frailty and decline and illness, but death will come. What is the Lord doing when He's taking one of His own home? Well, so often, the promises of the Word become so very precious. And so very blessed. And the Lord applies one of them to one He's going to take to heaven. And the believer holds on to it. Nothing else to hold on to. But it's a sure promise. It's a word in season. It's the time of departure. And God is there with His people. And He's keeping them right until the end. Keeping them by His word, in His word. What a word in season is. Then the one who speaks this word. In our text, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Well, plainly, the one who speaks this word in season is one who has been taught by God. Could this be Isaiah himself? He was a prophet and schooled in the things of God. Yet, the words that Isaiah spoke were not always welcome or desired. In chapter 53 he will say, "Who hath believed our report? Our good news? What we have to say concerning the Messiah? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" No, we believe that the one referred to in our text is more than a man. We believe that he is the Son of God, who became incarnate as the servant of God. We note at the end of our text, "He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." That seems to be a reference to the one who speaks this word, which is in season. And that would apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the picture of a master waking his scholars for their lesson. And he's exhorting them and encouraging them to listen to him and to learn from him. And how would that apply to Christ? Well, the wonder of Jesus Christ is that he is the Son of God who became man. And in our nature, he grew. He grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in knowledge. We might say that Christ became a pupil so that he might become a teacher. He's the prophet of the church. He's the one who brings the word to his people, who ministers the word to his people by his Spirit. And Christ, as we read of him in the Gospels, was one who studied the Scriptures. He was found there at the age of 12 in the temple with the learned men, the wise men, knowledgeable in the law of God, the doctors as they were called. He was both asking them questions and giving them answers to their questions, growing in wisdom and stature, and growing by his experience in terms of his ability to sympathize with his people and so to speak a word in season to them. Notice verses 5 and 6 of our chapter. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That is Christ as the servant of God, the obedient servant of God, and Christ going to Calvary's cross, and the experience, his sufferings, his woe. Thereby, he is equipped, fully equipped, to speak a word in season to his own weary, tried, and afflicted people. In the epistle to the Hebrews, we're told in chapter 5, "Though he were a son, Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And that's a remarkable word. Christ, learning obedience, was he not always, ever obedient, perfectly obedient to the will of the Father? Yes. But living in this world, in our nature, facing temptation, enduring trial, he was entering into new experiences. Experiences which called for his obedience to God, and in and through which he was indeed obedient to God. Hebrews chapter 2. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You see there? How Christ is so suited to the needs of his church and each and every one of his people. We're in the wilderness of this world. It has nothing for our souls. We hang upon the word of God. It's our light. It's our hope. All that it reveals. And especially Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, to him we look, in him we trust. Isaiah tells us in chapter 63 and verse 9, in all their afflictions he was afflicted. That's speaking of the sympathy of Christ, the fellow feeling he has with his people. There is not an experience that you may have as a child of God while you are here in this world that Christ is ignorant of, or Christ is unable to give you comfort with regard to. And he's able to give comfort because he was tempted also. He was tried also. And he's able to bring the very word that you need to your mind, calling it to remembrance. Or in the reading of the word, or in the preaching of the word. You remember in chapter 1 of the prophecy of Haggai, there is reference to being the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And that would apply to ministers of the word, preachers of the gospel. What to preach, how to preach it, who will be present on the Sabbath, what will the needs of the people be, will there be those who are weary, those who need a word in season, but only the Lord knows who they are and exactly what that need is. So preachers must pray that the Lord will make them his messengers in his message, that he will give them the word that they are to speak in his name that may reach the heart of his dear people and prove to be a blessing to them in their time of need. Praise God that he is sovereign. that He's all-knowing. And we praise God that He's all-loving. And in love to His people, He will bring them by one means or another the word they need to hear at a particular time. And perhaps we've had the experience in God's house. We may even have come reluctantly because we're so discouraged. We're burdened within. We're weary. And the devil has said to us, there'll be nothing for you there. You might as well stay at home, for the devil is a liar. And the Lord is good and gracious. And coming to the house of God, we heard something. May even have been in the singing of a song. And it was from the Lord. It was a word in season. And it came to us with power. And it brought a blessing to our soul. That's how the Lord works in the experience of His people. And if that is our experience, may we thank Him and bless Him for His goodness. Thirdly and finally, those to whom this word is spoken. And to consider those words in the middle of the text. Him that is weary. The word in season is spoken to such a one. Him that is weary. Spoken by the Lord. Perhaps in the preaching. The one that is weary hears it. And the one that is weary gets relief. Relief of a spiritual kind. There can, of course, be a weariness of the body. The body can be fatigued, worn out. But this is a word that comes to the soul that is weary. And it is the Bible alone, as we said, that speaks to the weariness that is in the heart of man. That's true of everyone. If you could probe within, and sometimes we try to, with our words and our questions, when we're seeking to bring the gospel to someone, a friend, even a stranger, trying to find out what their thoughts are, if we could probe within, whatever the person might say, whatever the outward appearance might be, we would find that there is this weariness within. Because it's in everyone. It's bound to be because of sin. And because man, as a sinner, cannot fulfill the end for which God made him, put him in this world. And that's to know God. And to enjoy God. To glorify Him. The man or the woman out of Christ cannot glorify God. Cannot enjoy God. God has a controversy with the sinner. The Lord's word searches and tries the heart. Christ, by His word and spirit, makes the individual aware of his or her own deepest needs. Our needs before God. Have you known the experience of a word from the Lord finding you out, as it were? You get on with life. You have your daily routine. There are things you enjoy. Other things that you do not enjoy so much. But they're all part of your routine. And you like to give the impression to others that everything is well with you. You're content with your lot. You're satisfied with what life is giving you. That may be how you appear, the impression you make. But it's not the truth, is it? The Word of God says it is not the truth. It cannot be the truth. If God made you for Himself, you cannot really be content while you are apart from Him and not right with Him. You need to be reconciled. You need to be brought nigh by the blood of the cross and the gospel of the cross taking effect in your life. And the Lord makes us aware of our need. There's a thought, and one that we cannot easily shake off. There's something missing in my life. There's something amiss. I'm not on the right path. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I'm not sure at all of heaven. And I know that there is also a hell. A word from the Lord, a convicting word, must begin there. But then, as conviction remains, we're troubled within because of our sin, the Lord sends the word of His grace, revealing Christ to the soul. Christ crucified. Christ shedding His blood. Christ putting away the sins of His people by His own willing and loving sacrifice. The one who is convinced of sin, bound to be weary, weighed down, not making any progress in life. The Lord's brought me to a halt. Do not know which way to turn. How can I get help? How can I rid myself of this load of guilt? The Lord's word will direct you to the Lord Himself. The Spirit of the Lord will give you the cry of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinner. It's God's voice speaking to you in your weariness, your helplessness. It's the Lord's voice calling you to Himself. Do you know that voice? And have you come? Only you can answer that. But if you have truly repented of sin and trusted in Christ, if you are really depending upon Him, His atoning work, His perfect righteousness, reckoned to you through faith in Him, then that burden will be gone. The Lord has taken it away. The weariness, the sadness is replaced by a new vitality, the life of grace, the strength the Lord gives to His own, and the joy of the Lord. Yes, His people are a joyful people. Why not? If they know that all their sins are blotted out, that they will not come into condemnation, that they are the Lord's, and the Lord will take them home when he sees fit, to heaven, the dwelling place of his redeemed people. Christ speaking to the soul. The word of God, a word in season to that needy one. And the word of God coming to his people during their pilgrimage. Now you think of the pilgrimage of the children of Israel, the 40 long years through the wilderness before they entered Canaan. Think of all the trials they had. Think of the weariness of that journey, even for those among them that knew and loved the Lord. And see your own pilgrimage as similar to that. It's not an easy thing to follow Christ and to be faithful to his cause. Many things come to God's people because they confess Christ as their Lord and Savior. The troubles of the Christian. Fiery trials sometimes. The weariness that may result. The questions they may have within. But the Lord speaks a word in season to them. Just at the point when they are brought low, wonder indeed whether they can go on, God gives them a promise. God gives them light, perhaps upon a portion of scripture they hadn't really grasped before, or they're sitting under a sermon and there's something just for them in that sermon. The Lord comes to revive and to refresh the souls of his people. There was Elim, an oasis, and the palm trees there, and refreshing for God's people on their journey. And there is a word in season from God for his own. You may be weary, even in God's house today. All that is presently in your cup and the difficulties you seek to bear with, as one who would honour the Lord. Is there help? There is help from the Lord. There always is. And he will bring it by his Spirit, through his word, the Lord's voice, his loving voice of a spiritual kind, heard in a spiritual manner, in the hearts of his people. And that so greatly encourages them. The Spirit is lifted, and they rejoice in the Lord. To hear the voice of God. That's what we need. And this is where it speaks. So often to his people, in the Holy Scriptures, in all their weariness, he will prove himself to be all sufficient in his grace. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O most blessed and gracious God, we pray that thy word would indeed be a help to us in the journey of life, giving us light directing us and upholding us. Refresh the souls of thy people, we pray, that they may be strong in thee and in the power of thy might. May we all hear thy voice as we need to hear it. And we ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.